Before Nintendo Wiis and Sony PlayStations, there were pinball machines. Pinball may be history for today's generation of gamers, but it's a history that David Silverman wants to preserve. In the past 30 years, Silverman has collected 867 pinball machines, from 1920s flat box games designed to be played on bar tables to today's freestanding computerized games with music and sound effects. One day, he hopes to open a national pinball museum where his prized possessions will be on display. For now, they reside in a building he constructed behind his house in Silver Spring, Maryland. Silverman works as a landscaper, specializing in Japanese gardens. But he found the time this past week to show us his collection of pinball machines and explain how his passion for pinball began.
I immediately was attracted by the color and the artwork. As a four-year-old, I mean, I was just fascinated with it. And my father gave me a bunch of nickels. From that point on, as they say, you know, history in the making.
Take us to a game of that era.
Oh.
When you were four.
Yes, okay.
See if we can squeeze by these. The slick chick.
Yeah, this game. Coronation would be a game of my era. Now, realistically, I would say I'm an average player. Not above average, and I think probably when I was a young kid, I was a better player than I am now, and most of the people I know who are older players feel the same way.
Look at you, racking up.
$1 million. I got a million. And to get a free game, you have to get 5,200,000, and all I have is 2 million, so I'm a kind of a pathetic player.
Now, we happen to be backed into another game, which appears much, much older.
How old
is this game?
This game's about 1929.
Right. So there's no flippers.
No flippers.
What there are these silver balls, and you put some nickels up here. Does that mean I can put it in?
Absolutely.
All my balls come out.
Now you shoot it.
Okay. Do you want me to shoot it?
Oh, yeah, you got 2 balls in 1 time.
All right, let's see what I got. Missed. Yeah, that's where they all end up. Did you restore this game?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what you do as well. You restore games. You collect games.
Display games.
Display games. You let people come in and play games.
Yes.
And your ultimate goal is to actually have a pinball museum.
What I'm trying to do is save American history, because these pinball machines go along the lines of history. The game you looked at before, Coronation, was when Queen Elizabeth was coronated.
Really?
So this was...
Pinball was made in honor of...
Exactly. And so many of the games that you see here have a lot to do with what was happening at the time. The artwork is similar as well.
I have to stop you, though, but Queen Elizabeth, I've never seen her in a bikini wearing a fuchsia cape with those little platform ankle shoes that they wore in 1950, blonde hair, something like, you know, Betty Grable or...
Well, you have to remember that pinball was a man's game. A lot of the pinball machine, the height of pinball was after World War II. So the soldiers coming home who were used to pin up girls in their lockers, basically all the artwork, what we call the back glass, was to attract the player. And what was on them? Mostly women.
You're actually standing in front of Coronation.
Correct.
But it is flanked by
Sweet Adeline.
Rotopool is next to Coronation. Nine Sisters is next to it. And Green Pastures is next to that one. These seem to be a heyday of pinball. But they were always in these dark, kind of nefarious places. When did pinball become kind of a social no-no?
That was actually pretty early. The company called Bally invented a payout game. And once these games were invented, that was gambling. So pinball was outlawed in the three major cities that were important for pinball. That was New York City, that was Chicago, and that was L.A. But not until 1976 did they finally legalize pinball in New York City.
Okay, so it's, you know, the middle of a Sunday afternoon, and you've got the urge to play some pinball, and you say, I'm going to go down to my museum, such as it is at this point, and I want to play a game. What game do you choose to play?
Well, there's a game right next to you called Big Bang Bar. That is my favorite game.
All right, come on over. Let's take a look at this thing.
The black light will come on. And it changes the color. All of the greens, all of the colors, especially when the room is dark, which is what I like to play pinball in.
Now, this has things modern that I recognize. The little tracks where balls go, the ramps, the kind of in and out and down and above. I mean, this is really bells and whistles.
And that this is called the attract mode. This is quite innovative because watch, it'll tell you the story.
On the night of July 2nd, 1947, a loud crash was heard near Roswell, New Mexico. Remains of an alien spacecraft were recovered, although this was officially denied by the United States government. Was this craft an advanced scout of an impending alien invasion of Earth, or was it simply an accident by a group of joyriders having one too many?
At the Big Bang Bar.
At the Big Bang Bar.
Anybody who comes in here who looks reputable can play the games for nothing.
All right, how do I look?
You look pretty reputable.
All right, I think I'm going to play this game.
Press that button.
Like I'm going to get that far.
Player one, Ray wants to see you at the bar.
Ray wants to see you at the bar. Well, where's Ray?
Oh, Ray's up there.
All right.
You have 13 million so far.
Player all right. One, I need to see some ID.
Hey, I'm old enough. Come on.
Upstairs.
Ah!
Well, watch what happens when the game's over.
If you're willing, I say.
Watch. What happens when you're in a bar?
And drink too much?
You throw up.
David Silverman, thank you for showing us your collection of pinball machines, and good luck with the Pinball Museum.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Would you mind if I played Adam's Family?
Of course.
Good shot.
Ah! Where did that come from? That's not fair. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Ned Wharton and produced by Kimberly Adams, Sarah Beyer Kelly, Peter Breslow, Elaine Heinzman, Veronica Miller, Thomas Pierce, Gemma Waters, and Habiba Noshin. Our technical director is Burke Hunn. Our librarian is Kim Oleski. Melissa Goh is our web producer. Our show was produced today by Walter Ray Watson. Our senior editor is Tony Marcano. The senior producer of Weekend Edition is Devar Iran Ardalan. And on a bittersweet note, we say goodbye today to producer Charlotte Baer. It will be impossible for us to calculate our loss. In the past year alone, Charlotte has produced and reported pieces from a Washington, D.C. high school to Los Angeles farmers market to the extreme southern tip of Argentina. We've had the good fortune of benefiting from her amazing work and professionalism. And we've had the distinct pleasure of her collegial company and good cheer. Our loss is public radio's gain. Charlotte is moving to Seattle to report for member station KPLU. So send us your best work, Charlotte. Happy birthday, and remember, keep your thumbs up while dancing. I'm Leanne Hansen.